Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, March 30th. The annual budget bill is making its way through the state legislature. It passed in the House, and debate over it is expected to begin in the Senate on Tuesday next week. As Benta Berkland reports, an improving economy gave lawmakers more options.
Lawmakers in the House debated more than 90 amendments to the budget, but in the end, few major changes were made. The budget puts nearly $500 million new dollars into transportation, adds more money for schools, and more money to help pay down public pension debts. Republican Representative Bob Rankin of Carbondale sits on the bipartisan Joint Budget Committee, which crafts the bill.
The rising economy, the dramatically improving economy, has allowed us to have additional money through various mechanisms to do some things that we were not able to do in the past.
The Democratic-controlled House did approve a Republican proposal to add $35 million for grants to upgrade buildings and security in K-12 schools. The budget now heads to the Senate, where the Republican president has said he doesn't foresee many changes. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And here on Friday, we'll go to the top of McClure Pass. Snowpack in the Roaring Fork watershed is at historic lows. Levels usually peak in early April, and right now it's around 60% of normal for this time of year. How are these levels determined? In early March, Water Education Colorado and the Roaring Fork Conservancy hosted a trip to the Snow Telemetry, or Snowtel, site at the top of McClure Pass. KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh went along and found out that there's a lot more to measuring the snowpack than sticking a ruler in the snow.
In early March, the snow at the summit of McClure Pass south of Carbondale is hard and crunchy, and there's only about 2 feet of it. Aspen trees stand in what are called tree wells, where the snow has melted away from the trunks, forming deep holes around the trees. South-facing slopes are bare in spots, not quite what one would expect for late winter in the Rockies at 8,755 feet above sea level.
Snowpack was well below normal values in this area. Here at the McClure Pass Snowtel site is the lowest on record for this time of year.
That's Carl Wetlaufer. He's a hydrologist with Colorado's Natural Resources Conservation Service.
Which is definitely indicative of a lower volume runoff this summer. This is the 38th year this site has been monitoring, so it does seem certainly notable that this is the lowest we've recorded in the beginning of March.
Wetlaufer and Liza Mitchell, Education and Outreach Coordinator for Roaring Fork Conservancy, are up on McClure Pass on this cloudy afternoon to give about 40 people who attended a morning workshop in Redstone about snow science a hands-on lesson about measuring snow and snow density.
Okay, so the plan for the afternoon here, we are going to head over into this flatter area. I guess I'll lead the way, and we're going to split you guys up into two groups. Half will go with Carl and conduct the elements of a snow course.
So he's going to. Wetlaufer's group is measuring snow water equivalent, or snow density, basically how much water is in the snow. And they're measuring it the way snow surveyors do, with a portable hanging scale and a hollow metal tube.
And then the other half will come with me, and we're going to do melting snow to see snow water equivalent and how that varies from layer to layer. Hopefully.
The other group heads off with Liza Mitchell to learn the basics of snow measurement with shovels, Tupperware, and camp stoves.
So we're hiking through an aspen forest here right now. There's actually quite a bit of aspen regeneration here, which is neat because we were talking about forest health earlier. So there's a lot of mature aspen trees. And we're heading towards an open meadow area where it's going to be a more evenly distributed snowpack. And that's going to be a better place to explore the snowpack and get an understanding of what this winter's snow has brought up here on McClure Pass.
The crunchy snow feels like it would be good for building snow forts. But today, we're digging pits.
This looks like a beautiful spot. Right here, we're in a little bit of a clearing of aspen trees, and so that means that we're not getting a lot of interception, but it's also surrounded by trees, so it's probably calmed down the wind a little bit, and it looks like a pretty even snow surface. So we're going to dig a couple snow pits here and see what we see in the layers.
Just like fort building, there's an art to digging a snow pit.
It's not just a hole in the ground. The important thing that we're looking for here is going to be a really nice vertical face. And as you're doing this, like, start putting on your lion's brains, like, right away. Like, I am already noticing so much from this. What do you see here?
I see a layer of snow on top, ice underneath, more snow.
Yeah. So, and what about the
dust in there?
Dust came on. The sun hit it, melted it a little bit. That formed a layer of ice, and then more snow came on top of it.
Awesome.
The group then splits into smaller subgroups that spread out across the clearing.
This snow is strange. There's some hard layers and soft layers.
Each group digs a pit to see how deep it is, check out the layers, and take a sample from one layer that will fit in a 900 milliliter container. Then, and this is where the camp stoves come in, each sample will be melted down to figure out water density or snow water equivalent. The groups compared samples from the bottom, middle, and top layers, and using a formula that Mitchell has field tested with students, measured the volume, 900 milliliters. Then added a measured amount of water to the snow before melting it.
There you go. Now pour it in.
After melting, the amount of measured water that was added to the snow is poured off, and voila, what remains is the snow water equivalent. For this particular layer, it's 194 milliliters out of 900 milliliters of volume, or about a fifth of the volume. Mitchell admits that this is not exact science.
This is not what is used by any state to calculate snow water equivalent. This is more of, that's what that station is for. This is more about what is snow water equivalent, how can that vary by storm? So really understanding if a storm comes in wet, what does that look like? If a storm comes in really powdery, how does that affect our water supply? You know, we could have 10 inches of snow, but if it's dry snow, we don't get as much water from it.
This field trip helped educators understand the basics of snow water equivalent and how snow surveyors measure it by hand. But the actual snow telemetry or snowtell site does all of this automatically. Mitchell also told the group that aerial and satellite methods are in the works. April Long, stormwater manager and Clean River Program manager for the City of Aspen, says what she learned today is important for the health of the Roaring Fork River.
It's very important for us to understand our snowpack and what our water supply is. How much water are we going to expect this year? Are we going to have those kinds of conditions where the river struggles to maintain its health?
This summer's water supply will most likely be low, which will have a negative impact on levels and flows in the Roaring Fork River. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.